I'm not asking you to be seated because I don't think you can stand through the length of this gospel reading, but it's a long gospel reading. But I want to do something that I occasionally do is, as we're reading the gospel, I like to share some thoughts on it, more like a meditation than reading it and then preaching. So I'd like to offer these thoughts as we read through this morning. This is a reading from John's gospel. The author of John's gospel is believed to have, this gospel came around 90 to 100 in the Common Era, around that time. Some suggest even beyond 100. But it was a very late gospel, very much influenced by the thinking of its time, a very developed gospel. In many ways, a lot of poetic for me, I think. It's my favorite gospel. Very much influenced by the thought of its time, very much influenced by some Greek philosophy and thought, some suggest. But one of the great themes of John's gospel is light and darkness. Light and darkness, also above and below. Very much there are these kind of images. But today we're going to look at light and darkness. And what this story is going to do is we're going to see somebody who is called blind, living in darkness, who begins to see. And we're going to see folks who think they see perhaps go deeper into darkness. It's a brilliant way that the author writes this story. So let's read it. If you look at it as I go along with you, and I'll offer some thoughts. And remind you that the words I read here are the gospel of the Lord, not the thoughts that I give. Those are my thoughts as I share them with you. As he walked along, I want to stop right there. As he walked along, you know, whenever we hear Jesus in the gospels, so often he is walking, he's moving. Even his early disciples, come, follow me, walk with me, move with me. You rarely hear Jesus described as, you know, as he sat there, or as he stood there. Jesus is always moving. And I think it's an important image for us of what we as church need to be. So often when we see the ministry of Jesus, Jesus is walking, engaging, encountering the world. He's not sitting there with his disciples saying, well, I hope some people eventually come to see me. He's in the world. And it's an image for us as church. Sometimes we can sit like we are gathered together and sort of, you know, I hope some more cars start pulling in. You know, I hope some more people find us. The message of Jesus is going forth, going out, walking, engaging with the world in which we live to bring about this light. So it's an image for us. So as he walked along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. That's what he sees, a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? In the culture of that time, oftentimes disease, illness was seen as a punishment from God. And if a child was born with a disease or an illness or a disability, it was seen as God's punishment on the parents, something the parents did, that their child is being punished. And so while Jesus sees a man blind from birth, his disciples see a sinner. They automatically, he's in a category. This is the way I see him. This is the lens through which the disciples see. And they see this man as a sinner. And so who sinned? He sinned or his parents sinned? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Again, playing on that day and night, light and darkness. We're in the daytime. We're in the light. Live this life into the light. And Jesus automatically is challenging his disciples. You know, I see a man born blind. You see a sinner. And I'm saying he's not a sinner, nor his parents sinners, that this happens. So automatically, Jesus is looking through another lens. You know, I've used this image before of a lens. Jesus is seeing things in a different way. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world, he says. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. It's a powerful image. It refers really, I think, back to the story of creation. Remember the story of creation in the second chapter of Genesis? There's the seven-story day, but after that, there's another story where God, the Creator, creates the first human being. Remember that story? God creates the first human being from the earth, forms this creature from the earth. In Hebrew, if I remember my Hebrew, I may be corrected on this. Somewhat, the word for earth is hadama. And the Creator creates hadam, the first human, from the earth. The first hadam comes from hadama, this idea of from the earth. And so Jesus is going back to that story and reaching down into the dirt, into the earth, and forming this mud, this saliva, and in a way creating a new creation, spreading it on the eyes of this man. It's a very powerful image. And it will come back to haunt Jesus in a little while because he did that. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Then he went, this is the man who was born blind, he went and washed and came back able to see. Now this man throughout this story will be so down to earth and concrete in his answers and in the way he lives, but eventually will come to a deeper sense of who Jesus is. So he sees. So this has just been the disciples and Jesus and the man born blind. Then it says, the neighbors, now there's another group coming into this, the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar. So Jesus sees a man born blind. The disciples see this man as a sinner. The neighbors see him as a beggar. He was a beggar we saw all the time. And in that culture, a beggar, a poor person, an ill person, these are punishments from God, which gave you an ability to just walk by these people. And so these neighbors say, this is a beggar. Is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some were saying, it is he. Others were saying, no, but it is someone like him. If this is the beggar, how can he now see? Because not seeing was a punishment for sin. It's impossible for him to see now. This can't be the beggar. Some were saying, and to see others, no, but it is someone like him. He kept saying, I am the man. That's me. The one you saw as a beggar, that's me. But they kept asking him, then how were your eyes opened? You know, this is impossible for them. How could your eyes be opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been born blind. So now they're going to the official kind of church leaders, the Pharisees, who are great defenders of the law. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. It's a very important point because on the Sabbath, you are not to work. You are not to labor. You are not to do work. And Jesus, by bending over and creating this mud, it was considered kneading, something like K-N-E-A-D, kneading bread. It was work. So the Pharisees are right away fitting him into this category. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man, they're referring to Jesus, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. They can see this man who is blind seeing, but they cannot accept that Jesus healed him. He cannot be someone of God. He's not following the Sabbath because he formed that mud. But others said, how can a man who was a sinner perform such signs? So if this Jesus is a sinner, how could he do this? And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. And the man born blind, said, he is a prophet. So often in John's gospel, John uses titles to oftentimes indicate that a person's understanding and faith is deepening. If you remember the gospel a few weeks ago from the woman at the well, first the woman sees him as a Jew, then sir, then a prophet, then until she declares he's the savior of the world. Titles are very important. So now this man born blind is, this Jesus healed me now? Well, he's a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind. So it just can't fit in my category. I can't accept that you, who are a sinner, can now see. So the Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind?" Now, this is a challenging situation for the parents. They are part of this faith community. They are part of this synagogue. And the officials are really challenging them. And they don't want to be exiled from the synagogue. Their whole identity is being part of this synagogue. That's a hard thing for us in our culture to understand. This isn't like, you left the Episcopal Church, now you go down the street and join the Methodist Church. This is a culture. This is a world. So these parents are very much afraid of these questions. "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." Referring to Jesus, and he answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." And they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. What do you want to do? You want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we're disciples of Moses." How insulting that must have been. "Are you one of his disciples?" "No, you're one of his disciples. We're disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." He must be from God. He must be from God because of what he's just done. And they answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" See this tension between this man who's had an experience of Jesus, this man who was in darkness is now in light, and yet the folks he's talking to seem to be going deeper into darkness. They're so taken by their law and their lens and the way of seeing, they just can't see beyond that. And they can't see who Jesus is, nor can they accept this blind man now seeing. And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man answered, "This is the man who had been born blind. And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." And he said, "Lord, I believe." It's another depth of the light. He started out knowing this man as just someone who put mud on my eyes, and now I can see, to coming to a faith statement. "I believe in who you are." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, like this man living in darkness. And those who do see may become blind." If those who feel they see but can't sense this life that Jesus is offering, this light that Jesus is offering, they choose to remain blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said, "Surely we're not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." It's like, that's a complicated sentence, but that sense of, you have to admit the blindness to walk into the light. And this man born blind has been touched by Jesus in that experience. So do you see that? It's just this wonderfully written gospel where this man born blind continues to walk ever more further into the light. And yet the folks who feel they've got it all named and understood, they're continuing to go further into darkness. And Jesus has this encounter as he was walking. And so as we gather together today, invite us to think of where our lenses, I've used this phrase often, where do our lenses need to see in different ways? You know, how can we be a community that gathers? We have to be together to be fed, to be nourished, to be nurtured, and to be challenged along the way. But we need to go forth into the world and walk as Jesus did, and see the world in the light, to see the world as Jesus sees it, to challenge the way the world we live in, to say that the world we see around us, the world that we see on the news, the ways that we see the world evolving and things happening, that we live in this light and we see it in a different way, and to challenge that. And to see people before us, to not see people in categories, to not see people in the way that sometimes we kind of look at people in demographics, but to see people for who they are. Those folks are able to say, it's a beggar, blind person. We can walk by. Who are our beggars? Who are our blind people? Who do we give ourselves permission to just walk by? But Jesus sees them for who they are, sees them for who they are. And we're called to go forth beyond these doors and encounter those around us and see people for who they are and engage in relationship and together bring ourselves into the light. Let us go forth this day living in the light and calling our world that is so need of this light to walk together.